What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Film This Sunday. I'm your host, Wesley Clapp. You can find me on Letterboxd at Wes Clapp, WESCLAPP, or you can find this podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Film This Sunday. That's on Facebook and Instagram at Film This Sunday. This is the second episode, and I'm here today with my guest, Brent Costantino, right? That's Costantino?
Yes, Costantino. Nice to be here, Wes.
All right, and what's your major?
I'm a media studies major. I'm an aspiring actor, though.
Okay. And so, like, what have you done recently in regards to, like, acting?
Recently, well, right now I have a show coming up this weekend in Manhattan. It's called A Sketch of New York.
Okay.
The show is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you guys are not too busy over Easter weekend, you want to come laugh in New York City, it's on 44th Street. Come check it out. It's a blast. Just short films, things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, today I wanted to talk about kind of like controversies in a way, and we can talk about just like different things that are in the movie industry lately. So we can start off with that new movie with Scarlett Johansson. It's called Ghost in the Shell, and I haven't seen it, but basically it's based off an anime series, which of course is Japanese. So there's just a lot of controversy going around with whitewashing, which is, like, to those who wouldn't know, when an actor or actress who's white is portraying someone who is, like, in a role that isn't white. For instance, in Ghost in the Shell, the main character is a Japanese woman, but instead it's Scarlett Johansson who's white. So, like, what do you think about that?
This is a touchy subject in Hollywood, and we even had, I forget the exact actor's name, but the instance where we had a white actor play Michael Jackson recently.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And, you know, that was a big controversy. And honestly, I think if a character is a certain way, if the writer writes in a character a certain way and they want them to look a certain race, ethnicity, whatever, etc., you should cast based on that.
Right, I agree with that.
And, I mean, I understand the whole put Scarlett Johansson in the movie to get some box office.
Exactly, thing. That's what I was going to say.
But when it comes down to it, it does take a little bit away from the realism of what the writer intended.
Right.
In the beginning, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, I've read a few articles about it, and I don't remember exactly where they're from, but basically, of what people who have reviewed the movie have said is that it's just kind of, it takes you out of the movie that she is a white woman in Japan, but it's like all about like Japanese culture,
yeah.
And of course they're like in Japan.
Yeah,
so it
really
takes
well.
It, yeah, it doesn't really work that she's a white woman. And what's interesting is then I got to this part in a bunch of the articles where they said this happens a lot. It's called, I don't exactly know what it's called, but it's like this phenomenon almost where in film and maybe even TV that there's always this like white savior to come and like save like the people, which of course is wrong, and I don't agree with it. I'm just saying that's like what the phenomenon is. And it even went with that new Matt Damon movie called The Great Wall. I don't know if you know. Yeah, and that's the same thing. For like people who wouldn't know, The Great Wall is a movie where Matt Damon is a white person, and they're battling in China on the Great Wall against like monsters or something, but he, I'm pretty sure, is literally one of the only white people in that movie.
Yes.
And it's based in China about Chinese culture. But I think he's just there for...
And I think this is a common problem that is flowing through Hollywood.
Right.
And I think it does take away from the realism of the story. And you could see this time and time again where big Hollywood producers will put a guy like Matt Damon, who, you know, a lot of people know him, he's a big name, to try to draw in the crowds into the movie theater.
Right.
In my opinion, I think these big companies should start focusing more on delivering a good story, delivering a realistic story, and then that will bring in the audiences.
Right.
Don't just put an actor who people know in the movie just to put them in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Matt Damon's a great actor. I'm not saying he's not.
Right.
But there are certain roles he probably should not play.
Yeah, I agree. Like, in The Great Wall, I haven't seen it, but I assume he's not... He's, like, kind of... He's, like, stands out, like a sore thumb.
I mean, I haven't seen it either, so I couldn't really...
Right.
...say, but I do understand your point here, and, yeah, I mean, it is a common thing going throughout Hollywood, and it does need to change, honestly.
Yeah.
It does.
And I think, like, what you said about just kind of throwing in an actor there just for the actor's sake, I think that goes for in the other side of that argument, where sometimes movies are going to suck and they know it's going to suck, like a
right.
B movie, for instance,
right.
but they throw in someone who you wouldn't, you know, typically have in a B movie. And, like, the only person I can think of right now is, like, Nicolas Cage, for instance,
mm-hmm.
who has had some good roles, like, long, long ago. And same thing with Adam Sandler.
Exactly.
But now they just kind of get thrown in there, I think, just because...
Nicolas Cage is thrown into a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's in everything.
Yeah. And I don't really like Nicolas Cage that much.
Yeah, I mean, he's had his good moments. And
National Treasure was good.
It was. He's had his good ups and his downs.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
Same with Adam Sandler. Jack and Jill.
Yeah, horrible movie. Horrible.
I can't talk bad. The guy's made me laugh my whole life. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think he used to be, at least in my opinion, I think he used to be funny, and now I think it's kind of like grasping at straws in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen, like, I think he's made a couple Netflix, like, originals, but I haven't seen them, so I don't know.
And I forget the exact name, but I'm pretty sure he has a movie coming out this Friday.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking
sure
about.
He does. I just,
is that I'm on trying, Netflix?
I'm not sure if it's getting released into theaters, Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure, but I did see on IMDb that he does have a new movie coming out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this Friday.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be funny.
We'll see. Right?
Yeah,
we'll see,
yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, speaking of, like, horrible, well, not horrible movies, but he's starred in, like, Jack and Jill, for instance, is, like, rated very low on Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb.
Yes.
But... what do you think about, like, the Fast and Furious franchise? Like, have you seen any of those
mm-hmm.
at all? And, like, what do you think of, say, if you had to compare, like, the first or, like, Tokyo Drift, which is, like, regarded as one of, like, the best ones in the series, compared to, like, the seventh movie?
Well...
because I personally thought the seventh one, like props to James Wan, who directed it, for, like, making a great, like, closure... with Paul Walker, but I thought the rest of the movie was, like, kind of laughable because the action was just
yeah.
silly.
And there's something to say when you have a long-running either TV series, movie, you know, you start getting into the seventh movie
right.
of the franchise, you know, eventually the writers might run out of things to write about,
right.
honestly. But, you know, if it does well in the box office, which we both know it slays in the box
oh,
office
yeah, absolutely.
Every single time
mm-hmm.
it comes out, then you can't really complain, I guess. But it does lose something the more and more you make of it.
Right.
It's just bound to happen. You could even look at examples of TV shows like Lost. People said as it went on, the writers almost were just like, what the fuck do I write about?
Right,
let's
right.
just throw in some black smoke and have it chase them. You know
right.
what I mean? But I think... I do give props to the franchise, though. I mean, they have been consistently entertaining.
Oh, definitely entertaining, yeah.
And they are coming up on their eighth.
Yep.
I
think is either released now or it will be released by the time this podcast is on. I think it comes out this Friday, right?
I'm not
so
entirely sure because I've been very busy.
Yeah,
lately,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, regardless, that is kind of incredible to be renewed and have investors invest in your movie.
Oh, definitely.
Eight times.
And with a movie like, I think it's called The Fate of the Furious now. Which is the eighth installment. I think with a movie like that, you have so many actors who I think used to be almost B-roll or B-movie actors to now they're like AAA title actors, you know? Like Vin Diesel now has like a bunch of his own stuff. He has like XXX.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big action star. And we have like The Rock, who's like was in Moana for some
yeah,
reason.
Isn't he,
but I mean, killed
the
it.
Sexiest man alive?
Yeah. yeah. And, but like,
I don't get that. I was passing today.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a mall.
Yep.
You got these cologne models, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see them, they're good-looking guys, right?
Yeah.
How the hell does The Rock win? I get he's muscular.
Hmm.
All right.
No, it's okay.
Email,
no, I got you.
It just came in my head when we said The Rock.
Yeah. Speaking of that, actually, I saw Moana. Did you see Moana?
I did not see Moana.
Great
actually.
Movie.
Lin-Manuel did the score for that, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Miranda, the creator of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great guy.
He is a very, very talented man. I had a chance to see Hamilton.
Oh, really? While he was in it, or
no,
okay.
I saw it in February. He had already departed from the role, But definitely, if you have... I saw it for free because my girlfriend took me.
Okay.
Her family just happened to have an extra ticket. And they were like, "Wanna come?" I was like, yes, absolutely, of course.
Yeah.
It's not hyped. It is amazing. Truly amazing. But what were you saying about Moana?
Well, actually, similarly to that, I think that Moana... I thought it was almost underhyped, if that's a word. But I thought, like... Because Disney has, like, all those classics. And I'm not saying Moana isn't a classic, but I expected it to be... to turn out kind of like... I don't know. I thought it would be something almost like Princess and the Frog, where, like, at least as far as to my knowledge, I didn't hear as much about that movie compared to, say, The Little Mermaid. And I think, like, everybody's obsessed with The Little Mermaid. And I'm not saying The Princess and the Frog isn't good. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's, like, great. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that I think... I wasn't sure if people were tired of Disney princesses or anything, but, like, the movie was awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, the effects were great. It had an awesome little short film in the beginning that I'm pretty sure won an Oscar for Best Animated Short.
And the thing that Disney is starting to do, and I think they're trying to touch upon current issues in our country, honestly.
Right.
And if you look at Beauty and the Beast, they had their first gay character.
Exactly.
You look at Moana, you have the lead girl, you know, not being your typical Disney princess.
Right, and she has no romantic affiliation, I believe, mm-hmm. in the movie, which is like a first, because there's always some kind of prince.
And I'm glad Disney is taking those steps.
Yeah, and I agree.
Because if you really look at it, I mean, we're adults here, mm-hmm. we're not going to look up to Disney characters, but their target audience of the kids that are watching these movies...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still watch the movies, too.
Exactly,
but,
yeah. It's definitely
kids,
family friendly.
The kids that are looking up to these characters
mm-hmm.
and seeing them, they do take a lot from it. And to see in Beauty and the Beast, you know, your first gay character in Disney, it starts kids younger with the acceptance of others.
Exactly. No, I agree with you. And at the same time, with Moana, she's Polynesian. She's not, you know, white.
Yeah.
And I think... that was awesome, and I think it's also awesome that I personally, and I know a lot of my friends, had no idea anything. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about Polynesian culture, and I'm not sure.
No, I could not.
And I bet there's, like, plenty to it, and I bet there's way more than Moana covered, but I think after Moana, I now understand, I guess, like, a good foundation of Polynesian culture, and I thought, like, it was awesome that they were able to weave that in instead of just kind of throwing you into... something they didn't know, because they did a lot of research on Polynesian culture and stuff.
Yeah, just like it differs from the typical princess prince,
right?
You know, type of story,
right?
And I think that is a great direction for Disney to be going in. And don't get me wrong, you know, should they stop making movies like Frozen? No, of course not.
Yeah.
But diversify the movie
exactly,
and have a bunch of different things, shed light on a bunch of different issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that could work. I mean, it is working. It's Disney. They're a powerhouse.
Yeah. They're actually releasing the next Pixar movie. It's not a Disney princess movie, but I'm not sure when it comes out, but it's called Coco. And it's about the Day of the Dead in Mexico.
Okay.
It's about this little kid and his dog who look up to this guitar player. This was all in the trailer. I forget when it comes out, but it looks really good. But he looks up to this famous guitar player. And he ends up playing his guitar in, like, one of the mausoleums dedicated to the guitar player who passed away. And all of a sudden, somehow, he becomes, like, kind of a tourist in the spirit world, where he's actually surrounded by, like, skeletons, which is, like, usually what's in Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And it looks awesome, because you don't really watch a lot of AAA movies that... are about, like, Mexican culture or
exactly.
Spanish culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And, I'm sorry, you said spirit world. I haven't heard that since Avatar The Last Airbender,
mm-hmm.
which needs to come back.
Yeah.
I know it ended, but it needs to just restart.
No, I definitely agree.
But, I think it's awesome, man. I like having different cultures in Disney films
mm-hmm.
coming out. It's going to open a lot of eyes, turn a lot of heads, and it'll bring in a lot more of an audience than they expect.
Definitely. I agree with you there. I think that, and I don't have, like, facts to back this up, but I think that if you compare Disney now to Disney maybe 60 years ago, then it would be completely different, because at the time that was targeted as or to like white girls and boys who were straight and right. Were probably middle class or above, right. But now we're targeting everybody, or they're at least they're trying to get everybody in, which
yes,
I think is
yes.
important.
Disney is doing a perfect representation of change in our country.
Exactly.
I mean, I keep talking about Beauty and the Beast, but
have you seen the new one, by the way?
I haven't yet.
Oh,
and I need to.
It's so good.
I need to. I definitely need to. But I am aware that there is the first openly gay character
right.
in the movie.
Yeah,
and
it did make news for that.
A
yeah.
little controversial.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important, and I think just because Disney went under a little controversy for this, they can't stop this trend.
Exactly.
They need to keep this going. Because eventually, it's going to be, you know, considered... This shouldn't be considered a controversy.
Yeah, this is just something
it's
now in our culture, at least.
Normal.
Exactly.
And the more and more movies that they implement this type of stuff, it doesn't just have to be gay or straight. It could, like we said, with different race, different culture,
exactly.
religion,
sexualities,
whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever it
anything.
Has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to normalize more difference.
Right, and I think,
acceptance in our country.
And I think with like that surprise win at the Oscars. Which is definitely well deserved. I think for like a picture like Moonlight, which talks about not only race but sexuality as well, I think that's at least with that and things like Moana, I think that's like a really good important thing to notice, because like the trend has already started now. So I think that, you know, in the next coming years, they're definitely going to be. I don't think we'll. Basically, what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to say that like. I think in the next couple of years, we won't have headlines that says, like eyes are turning and heads are turning because of, like, these are labeled as controversies. I don't think there'll be controversies in a couple
yeah.
years.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. And you see more and more movies. I mean, you mentioned Moonlight and getting a lot of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And you even see Key and Peele's brand new movie, Get Out,
yep.
breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking barriers and boundaries.
Exactly.
And this is... becoming normal, and it should be.
Yeah, and you don't see a lot of, at least in like AAA titles, you don't see a lot of diversity, I don't think. But I think definitely this year has been different. And they're usually, and I'm not saying that there aren't movies about diversity or different things, like
yeah.
different sexualities or cultures, but they're usually not as like box office breakers,
yeah.
for instance.
And we can't control what people want to see.
Right.
You know, not unfortunately, I mean, this is just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
People want to go to the movies and see buildings exploding and cars going
off. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Into the water and Dwayne The Rock Johnson ripping his shirt off and
yeah.
like, flying in the air, whatever.
Right,
it
right.
But, you know, that is what sells.
Yeah.
The industries in Hollywood know this. So, I think the common problem is we need to. I get money is part of it. You want to make back what you invested into the initial movie.
Right.
But there should also be based on the content as well.
Yep. You know, and I think that's the hard part for a lot of studios, I'd say.
That's the tough part for.
Unless you're
director.
An indie studio like
A24 exactly.
or something.
Exactly. That's the tough part for any studio, any investor to wrap their head around. You know, even a movie like Moonlight, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew, I'm sure, when it was being made. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure they didn't expect.
Yeah,
the
I agree with you.
That it had.
Right.
And that's why you have to take shots in the dark sometimes.
Yeah.
It'll pay off.
And it definitely did pay off. Definitely.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
I know you're asking a question, but let me ask you: what did you think should have won at the Oscars for Best Picture?
I loved La La Land. I went to see it.
Land.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I differ with you on that.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
I think, okay, the one thing I would say about that is I saw Birdman, which won,
right.
I think, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I hated that movie.
Yeah.
And I think La La Land in the same way is kind of polarized
yeah.
As well. And I do have things I don't like about it. I don't like that it's almost an all-white cast or that Ryan Gosling is, like, again, the white savior of jazz when jazz is primarily an African-American, like, cultural, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, those are some things I don't like about La La Land, but I thought it was extremely entertaining and really well shot, like, surprisingly well shot, mm-hmm. From at least from a filmmaker standpoint. But do I think it should have won at the Oscars? I expected it to, and when
it
I watched it... It almost did.
It almost did.
When I watched it with my suite mates and my friends and I, we were all sitting there, and when it won, we all just said, like, we all sighed, and we were like, typical. And then we were just about to turn it off, but I'm actually glad that Moonlight won, I have to say. It's definitely well-deserved.
My take on La La Land, and I went and saw this movie with my girlfriend, so mm-hmm. nobody called me a Ryan Gosling hater or anything like that. Like, I don't mind that he's a good-looking guy.
Right.
I'm not jealous at all. Like, a little bit, but not
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Like, as jealous as any guy would be of him.
Yep.
So, you know, I saw the movie. I never walk out of a theater. Ever.
Okay.
Walked out of the theater.
Mid-movie?
Mid-movie. I did. It wasn't just me. My girlfriend hated it as well. It was just, for me, I thought Ryan Gosling's dancing was good.
Okay.
The choreography was good. Singing, I felt he was a little flat at points.
Okay.
I didn't really love, everyone was taught raving about the chemistry between him and Emma Stone. I didn't think that they had the best chemistry. I feel like there were a lot of other people that could have played that role. Justin Timberlake could have played that role.
Right.
I think he would have killed that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a few other people I could have thought of to play that role. As for cinematography, it made me a little dizzy at points.
Yeah, it was definitely a little nauseating.
It made me a little dizzy.
I think they wanted to push the idea of getting out of the box there, getting out of the boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, overall, like, Damien Chazelle, great.
Oh, great. Whiplash,
I mean,
absolutely
Whiplash was
amazing.
Mm-hmm. And he's a very, very, very talented young director as an aspiring actor. Damien Chazelle, if you are making a movie, please cast me. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, but he really is a talented young man, talented mm-hmm. director. And he deserved the recognition for La La Land. Did I love it? Wasn't my cup of tea. But I could understand how a lot of people and a lot of girls would love it because Ryan Gosling's out there dancing as well.
Right.
So.
Did you ever finish it?
No.
Never finished it. Well, I guess this is a spoiler.
Oh,
but,
okay. You don't have to say it.
No, I can say it. It's at the end, it's actually not a happy ending. They actually have this long sequence where Emma Stone basically, it's like fast forward. Ryan Gosling finally gets his own jazz club, nightclub or something like that,
right.
And he's performing and he owns it, and it's called exactly what him and Emma wanted to call it. I wish I knew their like names, like their character names, but it doesn't really matter. And then Emma walks in with her, and she makes it big in France. She finally gets the role, but she leaves and goes to France for a couple months, and now she's this astounding actress. She comes back with her wealthy husband, and they end up walking by this club, and he goes, oh, we should check this out. And she was like, oh my God, I know this place.
Yeah.
And they go in and they sit in the audience and watch Ryan Gosling perform. And then it turns into this sequence of like how their life could have been.
Right.
Which I thought, it was probably the best part of the movie, I'd say, because it was really sad.
But
at the end, they just never, and you just find out they just never get together again.
Sad.
It's very
that,
sad.
That
yeah.
is the one part of the movie that I really did like, and it was Emma Stone's journey, her character's journey, going to auditions.
Right.
It really.
And was it like, because you're an actor, because I've never done anything for acting. Was it like realistic on how the audition process works, or was it like over-dramatized? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's.
Is it as brutal
yes,
as it?
It's definitely a tough business. Coming up as an actor is hard. Going to these auditions early on, you're not really getting paid for a lot of your gigs,
mm-hmm.
so it's a lot of resume building, a lot of demo reel building with
yep.
hopes of getting an agent to potentially try to go union. Yeah, you'll get your rude casting directors. Oh yeah, you'll go to the audition room, they don't give you the time of day. I've had it happen.
Right.
You know, I've been the last audition of the night, they're tired, they barely look up at you, and you don't get the part, but
that would be horrifying to me.
It is, yeah. But you're an actor and you get through it. Your job as an actor is to block out everything in your life and just convey the part.
Right. So then I guess on the topic of musicals, what do you think about, because I've only been to a handful of musicals, like live performances.
Right. I love musicals.
So what do you think about that versus like a filmed musical. I'm not talking like if someone like filmed Hamilton, for instance. I'm talking
like,
about like
a motion picture.
Yeah, like Beauty and the Beast versus if you saw
staged.
Yes, if you saw staged.
Okay, so an example that I would know more a little more about would be like Les Mis.
Okay.
Les Mis, I've actually been in a production of Les Mis. I've seen Les Mis on Broadway so many times that I literally knew the actors, honestly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, one of my friends was in the production, so like, I would see
On Broadway?
He was, yes. His name is Josh Morgan. Hey, Josh.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but when I saw the motion picture, that is what initially got me wrapped into Les Mis.
Yep.
It's what really made me fall in love with acting. I saw it in 2012, and I remember saying to my mom, I'm going to watch Les Miserables.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Les Miserables. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever it's called. It was very good in conveying the story.
Okay.
In a motion picture, it's a lot easier to fill in the blanks that stage you can't see. You just kind of have to imagine it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? In a motion picture, you could see things like a ship.
When yep.
on stage, you kind of just have to picture it's there.
Right. Do you ever think, not to interrupt you, but do you ever think that movies that are musicals are, like, over-fantasizing, like a musical, for instance? Because when I watch Beauty and the Beast, and this doesn't spoil anything, but there's this one part where Emma Stone runs to the top of this hill, and she's twirling around and around, and you can tell that she is literally in a soundstage, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a gorgeous background, and she's in this, like, really nice field and everything, but it's just so fantasized, and I'm not sure if that's what they were going for, but it was so, you know, like, when it's really fantasy, you
yes.
can tell that it's, like, oversaturated.
Yes.
There's a lot of special effects, usually, and I mean, of course the movie was full of special effects, it needed that, but, like, do you think that, like, musicals that are motion pictures tend to be over-fantasized, and does that help or hinder the idea of the story?
So,
or like, for Les Mis, for instance.
Yeah, even I could relate it, because I want to see Beauty and the Beast, but I have not seen it yet.
Great movie.
Really do need to get out and see it. I've just been busy. I haven't been able to get to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Also being a college student.
Poor.
Know,
yep,
poor,
I feel that.
Very poor. You know, so going to the theater is rough.
Yep.
You know, they're expensive.
Definitely. Way too expensive.
But if... that would be our next topic.
Yeah.
No, I can relate it even to like an Into the Woods, if you're familiar.
Yep. Do you like that movie?
I actually really, really liked it.
I loved that movie.
I really loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The actors and actresses were a lot better than I thought. Like, they were great.
And have you seen that on stage?
I was cast in an Into the Woods.
Like a high school production or like a...
It was a production last winter in Manhattan.
Okay.
And I got cast as the narrator. Unfortunately, I couldn't do it because school and
right.
you know, just conflicts.
Right.
Scheduling conflicts. But did they over-fantasize it in the film? Yes. But it's a, you know... It is a fantasy type of show.
Right.
So, does it take away from the story? No. I think, if anything, maybe for the audience, it kind of enhances it.
Okay.
Maybe keeps their attention a little bit more. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people, they just hear songs, they might start to tune out.
Right.
If they're not really musical people.
So, what about Les Mis? Because, as far as my understanding, I've only seen bits and pieces of the Les Mis movie, and I've never seen it. Well, I saw a high school production.
Yes.
But I don't know if you would count. Well, I guess... because my high school did a really good job of it. But at least in the motion picture, I know that, as far as my understanding goes, that they wanted to make it real to the time period, but not necessarily over, like, it's not chock full of CGI, but of course there is some, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the Les Mis movie, that set, they created the streets of France.
Right.
In a big, big warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
They literally created the streets of France. It was beautiful. If you watch the behind the scenes, you know, I think
I haven't, but yeah, that sounds awesome.
Beautiful set. Like, beautiful. And it does, I think it adds to the story a little bit. That's the part of the movie that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
If we're comparing stage, like a Broadway production of Les Mis and the movie, obviously you're going to get some better singers on Broadway.
Right.
You know, Russell Crowe had a lot of controversy. I personally liked his performance as Javert. He had a lot of controversy over whether or not he could sing it.
Yeah, the same thing with Emma Stone, Emma Watson, in Beauty and the Beast, I guess.
Right.
I didn't notice anything, but I guess
but
she...
at the same time, this correlates to what we were talking about earlier, where big studios are going to put in, you know, obviously they could find a Broadway star who could sing the crap out of the part.
Exactly.
But you got Hugh Jackman playing Valjean, who was great.
Mm-hmm.
Why not throw the Gladiator in there, too?
Yeah,
and get more of a male audience from that.
That's true.
I saw it, personally. I knew nothing about the musical before I saw the movie in 2012. Mm-hmm.
So you saw the movie first, then the...
I saw the movie, fell in love with it. I could literally quote the entire movie. Then I saw the play.
Uh-huh.
Then I saw the play again.
Okay.
Then I got cast in a Les Mis. That was my first acting endeavor. And then I saw the play a bunch more times. And now it's off Broadway, sadly. Bring it back. And, yeah, it is really, truly a magical play. It is.
Yeah.
But if we are talking about, you know, big name stars going in, it got me to watch it. So I guess it worked.
Right. Yeah, I think the thing with musicals that even, you know, say 5 years ago when I was like, no, I don't want to go see a musical with my friends, but I think
too cool and all.
Right, right. I think the thing is that, and I don't think it's a stereotype, I just think sometimes musicals that are movies happen to be more more geared towards like a female audience, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely agree with you where you say, I don't know about Into the Woods, but definitely Les Mis, they wanted that, they wanted to try to balance it out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that gets into the idea of, like, they did it just for the money, or they just wanted that bigger audience.
Yeah, I think that they wanted A-list stars in Les Mis.
Right.
And I think, you know, I call him Javert. Russell Crowe does have a past with singing. He had his own band and all. And, you know, it gets more of an audience. So then when, I'm not just saying it, but this could just, I'm not just saying girls are the only ones to see musicals, because I'm a guy, I love musicals.
Right, and I've seen musicals, and I love them now, so.
But, you know, let's say a normal couple's going to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see, honey? Oh, let's see Les Mis. Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then, oh, wait, the Gladiator's in this movie? Oh, Wolverine's in the movie, too?
Yeah, and they're like, well, it has to be good. Yeah.
This might not be that bad.
Right.
And then it brings more of a guy audience. And there were, I don't know this for a fact, I don't know the statistics or anything, but I would probably guarantee that there were guys that did check out the movie just because you have Wolverine, Hugh Jackman in it, opposing the Gladiator, Javert.
Right.
And you have these big, big names, even Sacha Baron Cohen and everybody in it, Amanda Seyfried. All huge stars.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. And I think what you said about when the guy was like, oh, crap, like, I don't want to go see this. But I think the same thing kind of goes, and we talked about this last week a little bit with my other guest that I had. But same thing goes with horror movies, I think. I think guys, at least from my prior knowledge and my prior experience, probably want to watch horror movies more than girls do. So I definitely think that I'm not even sure I can think of a horror movie that's been marketed towards primarily girls in a long time. I don't think I can think of an example. But I think that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
that brings in the whole dating aspect.
Yeah, and like...
girl to be scared.
Right.
So you can hold her.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, movies for, like, for instance, like, The Shallows, which has Blake Lively in it, which is, like, about she gets trapped out in the ocean with a shark, like, typical shark movie. I think films like that are different compared to, like, let's say, the new It movie. I'm not saying that girls won't go see it. I'm just thinking that It has a primarily kid audience, kid actors in it.
Yeah.
Almost all of them are boys.
Right.
And I think, honestly, I think, at least for It, and I talked about this last week, I just can never get away from this movie, I guess. I gotta go see it. But the original scared people so much, I feel like more adults are going to watch that movie than new audience members. Just because of, like, wow, they saw the first one in 1990, I believe. They got to go see the new one.
Exactly. And I feel like what you were saying is almost something that can't be solved. You know, as you were touching upon how girls are drawn to certain guys are more drawn to horror movies. They're... in the studio executives' minds, they know their target audience.
Mm-hmm.
The rom-coms, I'll watch a rom-com. I like rom-coms.
Yeah, they're good.
Don't judge me, but I like them.
Yeah,
I don't mind
them. I agree with you.
But they're geared more toward girls.
Right.
You know, I mean, safe to say.
Girls and, like, couples together.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's safe to say movies like, you know, what was that movie with Mila Kunis recently? Bad Moms.
Yep.
Clearly that's targeted toward...
Or Sisters with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Clearly that's targeted more toward a woman audience.
Which is not to say that guys won't watch it.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, exactly. They're geared towards a female audience, which is fine.
Yeah,
same thing with Bridesmaids.
A lot of, you know, mothers coming in to see it.
Right.
And, you know, that if however they make their money, they make their money.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean...
No, I definitely agree with you there. I think that... I just think it would be hard for a studio to try to basically check all the boxes. Mm-hmm. I think that you won't... Or at least in a studio's eyes, they wouldn't be able to get diversity, and at least not yet. All genders. Try to gear their audience, balance their audiences out between male and female. Make it family friendly, but also have like adults like it, but kids like it. I think all of those things are really hard to do, and I think there are movies that are far and few between that do them.
Yeah.
I hope to see that. Things I think like Moana, for instance, now that I think about it, I just said that would never happen. I think Moana did a good job of that.
Yeah.
Probably Beauty and the Beast as well.
I think Disney overall just does a good job.
And I think that's really what their studios are like geared towards. They want to lead the charge for something like that.
They are very successful for a reason. A movie like Frozen, let's use as an example.
Right.
I watched Frozen.
I loved that movie.
I watched it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a 19-year-old guy.
Right.
Like, no one forced me to watch that.
Yeah.
Disney does a fantastic job at targeting everybody. They have no limit
right.
to their audience.
Yeah. No, I think that's the great thing about Disney. And I think they're so widespread. You know, it's not just an American company anymore. Of course, they're based in America, but they have parks everywhere in plenty of different countries. And I'm not sure, but they must make – I mean – they also make, like, they made, like, Mulan, for instance, and they make, like, Moana, and Coco was going to come out. So I think they want to really spread their wings, and I think they should. I think I'm tired of watching the same old, same old.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Get Out, great film.
Yeah.
Something like that is different, and I think we need films that are completely different, like Birdman, like, even like La La Land, like something that pushes the box. Pushes the boundaries a little bit. I think films like that are important.
Yes. We have been mentioning La La Land and other films. Let me just throw in a plug for Fences. That was my favorite movie of the year.
So that should have won Best Picture in your opinion?
Let's just say I think Denzel should have won.
Denzel is an amazing actor. Have you seen American Gangster, by the way?
I have.
It has
American
Russell Crowe in it.
I was watching that actually last week, to be honest, with my friend from home when I visited home. Denzel is truly incredible.
Absolutely. And Viola Davis. I haven't seen it. Wait, so the one thing I don't know about that, real quick before we end here, were they both in the stage production of
yes,
it? Okay. I didn't know about that.
They were both. I'm not positive, but one of them might have won a Tony.
Okay. And that's like the Oscars of stage productions?
Of Broadway,
okay.
Basically, yeah. But yes, that was a stage production. They spent a few years getting it made. It really, if you want to see a movie that's emotional, like if you want to see acting at its finest, you watch Fences.
Right.
If you want to, you know, Viola Davis's performance, and she deserved the Oscar in every
absolutely.
Way, shape, and form.
Right. I think she's a very talented actress.
Extremely,
I haven't seen Fences, but everything else, she's
talented.
Awesome in.
She's a Juilliard grad.
Mm-hmm.
She's extremely, extremely talented. Denzel had a 13-page monologue in this
wow.
film.
Wow. I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
Eddie directed it.
Huh. Yeah, I think it's always awesome. Something like Fences and even like the movie Argo, if you direct
right.
it and act in it, it's hard. I bet it's very hard, but I bet it pays off. And
yes.
with Fences, I think it paid off.
Yes. You see it nominated, you see all the awards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well deserved. Yeah,
very well deserved.
I'll have to definitely check it out.
That was my favorite movie of the year, definitely.
All right, my favorite movie was Arrival, but we'll talk about that next week.
Arrival.
So again, Thank you guys for listening. This is Film This Sunday, film and TV every Sunday, made by and for college students. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Film This Sunday. Again, that's at Film This Sunday on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you, Brent, for joining me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys so much. If you want to find me on Facebook, Brent Costantino. If you want to look me up on YouTube, Brent Costantino. I do some Trump impressions and
yeah,
like
very
that.
Funny stuff.
Check them out.
You want to spell your last name real quick?
Yeah, Costantino, and then my first name, Brent, Brent.
Yeah.
Wes, thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
It was a lot of fun, definitely. I'll come back whenever you want.
Alrighty. Alright, check us out on every Sunday, and then every Sunday we'll have a different guest, so we'll talk to you guys later.